Superhuman Channel.
Not only does he poke holes in corporate lies, he tears them a new one.
All of the associated companies that say that GMO labeling is unfair to them cite that it would cost too much money to change the label on the box. But meanwhile, they spend millions and millions fighting labeling. Why don't they just use that money to label the boxes?
His name is Carl Lenore.
And keep in mind, Madeira, the province of Portugal, Switzerland, India, and Thailand have all banned, B-A-N-N-E-D, the sale and growth of genetically modified foods in their countries because they prefer to wait for more research to come out before they subject their citizens to it.
On Superhuman Radio.
Everybody deserves to know what they're eating. This is nonsense.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, we're going to be joined by the one and only Dr. Mauro DiPasquale to talk about Dietary Protein 101. Lots of confusion. We're going to get the straight scoop from him. Then, during the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Yanina Pepino to talk about your sweet tooth, how age, obesity, and dopamine influence your propensity to want sweet foods. This is new breaking research that may answer a lot of questions for people who were once obese and can't figure out why they can't give up those sweet things. Couple announcements. First of all, a sponsor, Osteobroth, who makes a gourmet instant bone broth. Fantastic stuff. I have a cup every single day because if you're eating a high-protein diet, methionine overload has been linked to advanced aging. Well, the thing that blunts methionine overload is glycine, and bone broth is 30% glycine by weight. So I use Osteobroth right now. Ridiculous discount. If you use the code SHR40, 40% off any of their products. They even have a new 5-serving travel size. So check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Osteobroth banner ad. Use coupon code SHR40 to save 40% off. Also, don't forget, Thrive Protein is the best protein on the market today. People keep sending us emails saying it's the only protein they can use, easy to digest, tastes great, and has everything in it that they need and want from their protein powder. You can save 50% off by using the coupon code ThriveLife, T-H-R-I-V-L-I-F-E. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to try Thrive Protein if you haven't tried it yet. Everybody loves when Dr. Mauro DiPasquale comes on the show. How you doing, Mauro?
I'm doing fine, Carl. How about you?
Fantastic, fantastic. So you actually wrote a book that ended up being a course book for certain schools that looked at protein peptides. Isn't that right?
Actually, yeah, back in 1997, I started the first edition of Amino Acids and Proteins for the Athlete, the Anabolic Edge. It was published by CRC Press, which is now a division of Taylor & Francis. I did a second edition in 2007, and I'm just starting the third edition because there have been a lot of changes in the last 9-10 years. And it is being used by certain schools, et cetera, as a textbook.
So when we talk about protein, we really are talking about amino acids and peptides, aren't we?
Yeah, whole proteins and amino acids and peptides. I mean, a combination of the three, taking individual amino acids, taking peptides that have been hydrolyzed from various proteins such as wheat protein. Glutamine peptides, for example, can come from wheat protein or come from casein. You can come from almost any protein. So, yeah, they're used in different ways and have different effects.
Okay, so obviously when we talk about protein, all people think about is dietary protein, 1 gram per pound of body weight if you want to build muscle. But protein is much more sophisticated than that. We've talked about the role of the endoplasmic reticulum in every cell, which is an organelle that actually folds proteins to be messages that go from cell to cell. And if you're not getting adequate amounts of whole proteins in your diet, and you don't have all of the available amino acids in your diet, aren't you really hobbling the ability for the endoplasmic reticulum to actually assemble messages with syntax and amino acids if you're starving yourself of, let's say, a certain amino acid because you're a vegan, for instance?
Well, actually, it's a lot more complex than that. The we discussed epigenetics on a prior show, in which the environment, internal environment, the external environment, can change the hardwired DNA to give different responses in the body. Now, we're dealing with two processes here. We're dealing with transcription, which is basically RNA molecules being produced from the DNA, sort of like a rough template. Then this is changed by different non-coding RNAs, so that it kind of trims the RNA to a final product. And that transcriptional RNA then goes to the ribosomes, to the whole complex and endoplasmic reticulum. And this, in turn, produces various proteins, including receptors. In other words, it runs the whole body, basically. It runs signaling systems, including what people consider, for example, fat-mediated signaling systems. It has differential effects over the body. So we're dealing with a very complex system that starts with the hardwired DNA, modified translationally at a whole bunch of different stages to give different results. So the effect that various kinds of proteins, amino acids, and peptides, etc., have in the body is actually related to the epigenetic makeup of the person.
So what has changed about protein and what we knew then and what we know now? That you said you're upgrading this to the third edition. What exciting new facts or what information has been clarified over the past 5, 6, 7 years?
Well, since I wrote the book in 2007, the second edition, you know, we knew very little, for example, then about the microbiota, you know, the viruses, bacteria, and other organisms that exist in our bodies. We're learning more and more about this and the effect it has, for example, on the transcription, on the epigenetic changes, and then the final protein, muscle protein synthesis, the accumulation of muscle mass over a period of time. So that's one factor which has to be now included in the overall picture of proteins and the intake of proteins and how it's affected by the microbiota, not only in the gastrointestinal tract, but in other parts of the body. As you know, there's microbiota in almost all parts of the body. Even parts of the body that once were considered sterile have been found to contain bacteria, etc. For example, breast tissue. Biopsies of breast tissue under sterile conditions have been shown to have bacteria, for example.
Right, right.
So, you know, we're inundated with this microbiota. So that was not a factor back in 2007. And we were just starting at that time to realize that the organisms that we carry, which overshadows the number of cells we have in our body, actually has a profound impact on what happens in our bodies. The second thing that was important is the changes in how protein can be taken. For example, what I call protein balancing or partitioning or rationing. In other words, what effect does that have as against specific timing of protein intake, for example, before, during, and after exercise? So we're looking at the effects of that, and there's been several studies that have shown that both these kinds of protein practices, or protein intake, have a significant effect on both short-term and long-term skeletal muscle mass accretion. In other words, increase in muscle hypertrophy, etc., which is what most athletes and most people are looking at, to increase muscle mass rather than, obviously, body fat, etc. So we're looking at that aspect. Then we're looking at what's called sort of a threshold of protein. I mean, how much protein can you actually take at any one time? When it should be taken? There's also, for example, a specific amino acid threshold. There's a leucine threshold. There's only so much leucine that actually has an effect on muscle mass of on protein synthesis.
How much is that? So it's always been the number that's thrown around is 3 grams of leucine is the requisite amount in order to stimulate mTOR and muscle protein synthesis. Much more than that is not necessarily effective. Then there's some people. I think there's a study out there that shows 5 grams has a greater effect than 3. So what is the threshold? What's the usable limit?
Again, very complex because it depends on the person. It depends on the environment, the diet, the kind of. For example, leucine alone is not all that effective without other amino acids also present.
Right.
I mean, it is effective, but you also have not only the essential amino acids, but as you know, also what they consider non-essential amino acids such as glycine and alanine, etc. These all have an impact on muscle protein synthesis. So, you know, there have been various studies, for example, that have included small amounts of whey protein and larger amounts of leucine and individual amino acids as against a large amount of whey protein at any one time, and what effect that has on muscle mass. And not just short-term, because this can be very misleading. Short-term muscle protein synthesis and muscle protein catabolism may not mean all that much in the long-term. As you know, if someone wants to increase muscle mass and muscle hypertrophy, increase body composition, this is a long-term event. This is not something that's done in one day or 1 week or 1 month. So what many studies have not shown, and not enough studies have been done on this, what is a long-term implication of various kinds of amino acid and protein intake? You know, for example, whether or not you should take the amino acids on a rationing basis, in other words, or protein, every 3 hours, for example, and or whether or not that should be combined with a specific timing of protein intake and amino acid intake, for example, pre, during, and post-exercise. And what the long-term effects of all this is, we don't have enough research to show what is the best way of doing it. And you also have to consider age.
Yeah.
Because
the older you are, the less responsive you, the less responsive you become as you become older. You need a larger dose of protein to get the same response that a young person gets with a smaller dose.
Exactly. And the leucine threshold may be larger with older people than it is with younger people. Younger people seem to be able to do with less of the essential amino acids and overall protein and leucine and still have a significant effect on muscle protein metabolism as far as the accretion of muscle mass than older people do. So they need to be much more specific on what they use, when they use, and how they use it.
Okay, so obviously we're not going to come away with the silver bullet answer. What everybody wants to know, how many grams of protein do I need to eat a day in order to maximize muscle growth and minimize fat storage? There's been some good studies done by Dr. Jose Antonio, and some meta-analysis also done by Dr. Brad Schoenfeld, and they seem to come up with the 2.2 grams per kilo, or around 1 gram per pound of body weight, seems to be the minimum. And Jose Antonio did a great study with 3.2 grams per kilo. And this is in trained adults. That's the other thing. You know, when we talk about protein consumption, we're not talking about people sitting around on the sofa. It's not going to do the same thing unless you're training. But he did a study with 3.3 and overfeeding of 800 calories a day, more than what they needed, and they lost body fat and built muscle. So, you know, I think that information is out there already, but what I'd like to know is, you raised this interesting point about the microbiome. Are there people out there that you think, because of the lack of diversity or inappropriately infested guts with the wrong microbes, that aren't getting what they want out of their protein?
There's no doubt about that. Protein by itself needs certain cofactors. And as you know, there are a number of cofactors that increase protein synthesis along with protein intake. Things like resveratrol, the omega-3 fatty acids, even vitamin C, for example, is very important to have adequate amounts of vitamin C in order to have satellite cell formation in skeletal muscle. So all these cofactors also have an effect. So the microbiota has an influence on what exactly ends up in the body as far as their contribution. In other words, short-chain fatty acids that they produce from fiber, a number of vitamins and minerals that are accentuated, provided to the body. There are so many factors in microbiota. We're just starting to recognize just what the patterns are and how it can affect muscle mass. And then you have to look at the epigenetic aspect of it. In other words, to simplify things, the way I usually explain things is you have a hardwired DNA which allows you to go within certain parameters. In other words, if your parameters, and as you know, athletes, for example, certain athletes have a certain allele or a mutation which allows them to be more successful in certain sports, strength, speed, endurance, etc. Now, if you have that ability genetically and hardwired DNA, then you need the epigenetic changes to bring these abilities to fruition. All right, so we look at protein and we say, okay, this man or this woman has these certain sort of limitations, a low and a high end, and in between. What exactly is the protein going to do for them? So what we have to do here is we have to find biomarkers, which hasn't been done yet, but will be done, biomarkers for maximizing protein synthesis, and then seeing what effect individually certain things have that increase these biomarkers. Now, if they don't have the genetic predisposition to be Usain Bolt, for example, then no matter what they do, it's not going to happen.
Right.
But until they try it, they don't know whether they have these predispositions unless you do sort of an epigenome and find out just where they stand, and then do a genome to find out what their capabilities are.
Right, right. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about something that's pretty overlooked. When we see starving populations and we see children and adults with seriously distended stomachs, that distension is a result of inadequate amounts of protein in the diet. Why? What happens in the gut when someone is starved of protein? And I think it's funny that we send them cornmeal to save their lives. We should be sending them roast beef sandwiches, to be honest with you. But I want to talk about that when we come out of the break, because this is something that's wholly overlooked by most people when we talk about protein consumption. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Live On Labs. You too can benefit from Live On Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Live On Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Mardi Pasquale. We're talking about protein. You never talk enough about protein. You know, vegetarians and vegans don't really get this. I got to be honest with you. Protein is the most important macronutrient in our diet. You can't substitute missing amino acids. You can't just go, oh, so, you know, I'm not getting enough of this, enough of that. There's a phenomenon called kwashiorkor. You're familiar with it, right, Mauro?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
So when you suffer from severe protein deficiency, the gut becomes loaded with fluid and it swells. This is why when we see these poor kids in these impoverished countries, they're walking around with their bellies bloated out. And we send them cornmeal and wheat, which is a joke, because that is a phenomenon of not having enough protein. Why does that happen? What is the body trying to do to regulate the lack of protein, Mauro?
Well, first of all, let me say something about vegans. You can use, as you know, vegetable proteins usually lack one or more amino acids, lysine, L-tryptophan, the cysteine, sulfur-containing amino acids. Various proteins will lack one or another. So if you balance your proteins, you have to be very careful about this, because you really need to be working at this as a vegan to get enough amino acids to balance out the deficiencies. It can be done.
Right.
Whether or not it's as effective as using animal proteins is another matter.
Well, we're doing that show next week. So, where a group in another country, they added dairy and meat to their diet, and the outcome was just amazing. So we're going to talk about that. Yeah,
it is amazing. Even soy protein, for example. I mean, studies have shown that you need to take much more soy protein than you do animal protein to get the same effect on protein synthesis and the decrease in protein degradation. So, you know, there are differences. So, okay, after covering that, then we deal with two types of things. Are you familiar with marasmus?
No.
Okay, well, kwashiorkor and marasmus are very, very similar. Marasmus is, and you see these kids, and they're down to skin and bones. You can see the ribs outlined and everything. This is a general loss of calories, protein, and other vitamins, minerals, etc. So it causes sort of like a debilitating wastage of the whole body without necessarily the edema, etc. that you see in kwashiorkor.
Okay.
Now, kwashiorkor, of course, is usually caused by lack of protein. So as you said, they're sending them corn and wheat, which are incomplete proteins, as you know, have incomplete proteins in them, and are not going to really do much for the situation. What they need is animal protein.
Right.
Now, what happens with kwashiorkor is, as you know, every cell in the body contains protein. You need protein in your diet.
I see where you're going already. So these cells, in an effort to give up their protein, they give up everything that's inside the cell. All that fluid runs into the stomach.
Exactly, because they don't have the proper mechanisms to control that flow. It's gone. So what you need, and the trouble with the kwashiorkor is you have to reach these kids in time, because if they're allowed to go too far into it, they can never achieve normal growth and health. Sending them corn and wheat is not the answer.
How sad. So it's clear, it's easy to say, of all three macronutrients, I mean, we can live without carbohydrates. We know that.
Yeah.
But we cannot live without protein, and we can live without fat to a certain degree. So really, protein is the pivotal macronutrient, yet we have massive movements afoot in the United States, to tell people that they're eating too much protein. Well, isn't that crazy, Mauro?
Well, I think for the couch potato, if the couch potato is existing on steaks and potatoes, which a lot of couch potatoes do,
right,
then they may be getting enough protein. But if someone who's looking at body composition, any kind of exercise performance, anything along the lines of a healthy body, and you know exercise and everything like that has an effect on not only lifespan, but health span.
Right.
And so, yeah, I agree. It is ridiculous. Now, back in the 1970s, I suggested that the amount of protein the minimum amount of protein that an athlete or someone into sports or any exercise, body composition, is 1 gram per pound of body weight. And that was like almost 50 years ago.
Right. Right.
So, you know, it's nothing new. And Jose, which you know, is a friend of mine, actually, has done these studies and really has kind of substantiated a lot of what I've said over the last half a century.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, look, Mauro, you and I were talking about the ketogenic diet in 2006 on this show before it became the crazy new fad diet that it is. And it's not a fad diet. It's actually a very usable diet. But make no bones about it. Dr. DePasquale was writing about the ketogenic diet 35 years ago for sports and performance. You called it a biphasic diet because you had a refeed period, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, that was all for maximizing the abilities of a person not only to utilize fats as much as they could for any activity, and that really is for a large amount of any kind of exercise, but also the ability to use the glycolysis and the glycolytic pathway to produce fast ATP, because by using the phase shift diets, you're actually increasing the glycogen granules in the muscle cells, as well as increasing the amount of fat that's available right next to the mitochondria, which can be utilized really quickly as well. So what I tried to do, and which works, and I have a lot of Olympic athletes, by the way, that are following this diet, and are also taking my supplements, and some of them gold medal winners. So it does work. It does allow the person to use fat to a maximum VO2 max, which is greater than someone who's carb adapted, and also when they really need it for anaerobic the anaerobic phase in their exercise, they're able to utilize the glycolysis as well to give you the fast ATP production, which glycolysis only can provide.
Interesting. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about red meat for a second, especially because I don't know if you're aware of this, but here in the United States, they're going to change people who get assistance in food stamps will no longer be able to buy steaks with their food stamps, which I think is ridiculous. They'll be able to buy hot dogs and spam and all the crappy stuff that people think is meat, but they won't be able to buy actual meat very shortly. I want to talk about red meat because red meat gets a pretty bad rap, and I want to talk about microbiota and TMAO because there seems to be some linkage between microbial diversity and TMAO. I want to get your take on that, okay?
Sure, no problem.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Dr. DePasquale.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending, Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Yo, give me something to dance to.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Curve around and talk it over. So many
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale about protein. Mauro, plug your website for people who want to go there and check out your supplements and also where they can buy your books.
Yeah, my temporary website, actually, and it's not a very good website, I have to say, because I can do very little with it, is www.mauromd.com. Now, I've got a new website that's coming up in a couple months that's going to be a whole new paradigm for me. It's going to allow me to do everything. There'll be a lot more information on it. I have a lot of writing, I have maybe 10,000 articles in me, which I haven't been able to do because of this website that's been limiting me. Anyway, there's going to be a lot of information on it, and as well my supplements, which I, my supplements are like Microsoft programs. For example, you know, you have Microsoft, Windows, XP, Windows 8, Windows 10. Well, my supplements are revised in that, for example, my amino is version 1 was the initial one, and now I'm in version 6. So they're updated all the time according to new research, and also my feedback from the people that use my supplements, especially the elite athletes in a lot of different sports. I just wanted to let that out there because the names may be the same, but the versions are always different.
Yeah, so you're always upgrading them. I like that.
I'm always upgrading. Probably 12 to 16 to 18 months, they're upgraded.
Back in 2013, trimethylamine N-oxide, I think that's what TMAO stands for, came to the forefront. And, of course, the culprit was red meat. And the effect of this molecule, TMAO, on heart disease. And so, but it's not cut and dry. It doesn't look like a clear cut, oh, TMAO, red meat, heart disease. What are your thoughts on it? And if it is an issue, are there ways to mitigate the threat?
I have one word for most of the information out there on TMAO, and that's bullshit.
That's a good word.
Yeah. Now, the problem is, of course, there are so many discrepancies that it's hard to really figure out just what's going on. For example, red meat contains choline, as you know, and contains carnitine. And these are the two that have been targeted by people saying that they're converted to TMA, and then the microbiota converts them to TMAO, which is causing heart disease. Well, it may be a biomarker for heart disease, or may not be a biomarker for heart disease. But a lot of it depends on, first of all, the formation of TMA, which is done by the gut microbiome, is dependent on certain bacteria in the microbiome. They found that people who produce a lot of TMA, and which is converted to TMAO in the body, have a certain bacterial makeup in the microbiome, and people that don't have that makeup. Now, they've done studies with vegans, they've done studies with meat eaters, and they come up with all kinds of different.
I know, they always say that the vegan diet is important because of TMAO.
Well, here's one thing. Fish is supposed to increase TMAO levels dramatically. Now, how many studies have you read, besides the business about mercury, etc., how many studies have you read that say that fish is good for your health, good for the cardiovascular system?
They all say that.
So this is where the bullshit comes in.
Right.
I mean, let's not sensationalize all this, as they have, and say that it's written in stone, because it's not. It's far from written in stone. it's very confusing. And I intend to, I've got an article already on the go. And by the way, I'm also starting the third edition of my book on amino acids and proteins, The Anabolic Edge. A lot of stuff on the go that I hope will put things in perspective. The trouble is that, sensationalizing things and when people come out with, and it's in all the news and it shows up in thousands of websites, so-and-so did a study that says blueberries will cause you to live 10% longer than you would if you didn't eat blueberries or whatever, whatever this is.
Right.
It's not put in context.
Right.
They don't put it in context with other studies have shown other antioxidants may or may not be useful at different times and different people, depending on, again, their makeup, hardwired DNA, epigenetic makeup, and what occurs in the body. It's complicated. You can't come out with these stupid statements. It's Hollywood.
Right.
Sensationalizing. And that's really That's one of my pet peeves. And I intend
Is the TMAO link also why they said that L-carnitine was not a good idea to take?
Exactly. Yeah. L-carnitine has been targeted. Choline's been targeted. Lecithin's been targeted. Phosphatidylcholine. All of the fat derived, amino acid derived combinations have been targeted. Well, let's look at this business about nitrate. Okay. Everybody's saying that, you know, nitrates are fantastic. They increase your, you know, a pump. They increase blood flow to the muscles, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, nitrates can't be taken with protein because there's a carcinogenic effect with the combination. And now you see a lot of companies are pushing nitrates with protein. So, again, this is perspective. You've got to look at the overall view, what's happened over the last several decades as to where you're going to put this information and what it means.
Interesting. Okay, so staying with the whole red meat thing for a minute longer, what's your overall feeling about red meat? I mean, I eat red meat. I strive to find red meat. I buy from a farmer that I know, so I know the cows are finished on grass. I know they're treated humanely. But there are a lot of people out there that can't do that. They have to buy red meat in the grocery store. Should they fret about that, or should they just eat it and not worry about it?
Well, unless you can afford it, I'd eat it and not worry about it. First of all, red meat contains a lot of nutrients. I mean, just using simple logic here, what are we made of? We're made of red meat.
Yeah, I know.
Okay? Hello? Maybe red meat is what we need to eat. You know, because it has all the nutrients that we need to make our red meat.
Right.
I mean, that's simple logic, okay? All the other stuff, it just complicates things, okay?
Right.
There's certain, vegans are missing certain vitamins, certain iron, you know, B12, et cetera, that they're not going to get unless they're really careful and they supplement, which most vegans don't, by the way.
Yeah, most of them believe that as long as they're not eating animal products, they're fine. So they could eat ice cream and bread all day long and they think they're fine.
Well, here's the thing. There's different kinds of vegetarians. You know that, of course. You know, there's all the way from vegetarians that will allow fish and milk and egg, et cetera.
Yeah.
Lacto-ovarian.
Right.
And I guess, what would you call the fish ones? Pescarians? I don't know.
A pescatarian.
A pescatarian.
Right. Yeah.
And then there's the absolute other end, the fruitarians. They will only eat things that drop off of plants.
Right, and you know who was a fruitarian, right? Steve Jobs.
Yeah,
and he died of a very, very aggressive pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, there's been a lot of influence on different kinds of cancers and how they're affected by various diets, etc. It's hard to put in perspective because there's a lot of studies on that. But I believe that certain kinds of diets predispose you to certain kinds of cancers, depending on your, again, you know, I keep going back to this because it's so important, the hardwired DNA. The epigenome, but not only the epigenome, but the microbiome. In other words, the makeup of the microbiota in your body on a genetic basis has an influence on your epigenome.
So let's do this then. Let's finish this discussion about the microbiome. What does Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale do to enhance the microbiota in his gut? Let's take a break and we'll cover that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing.
That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world. Iron Mag Labs.
Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com.
IronMagLabs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, right about now, let's get ready to rumble still stand.
Welcome back. Top of the hour, we're going to talk about why you have a sweet tooth. If you struggle not to eat sweets, we're going to tell how your brain is wired differently. Very interesting discussion. Right now we're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. So, Mauro, I remember reading a study many years ago that showed that when supplementing protein powders with probiotics, lactobacillus forms and bifidobacteria forms, right, that there was a greater protein synthetic response from the feeding post-workout, which is the first time that I started to give thought to probiotics more than just for gut health, but actually for doing certain things, which speaks to what you said at the beginning of the show, that, you know, that these microbes translate the proteins into things that we need or they don't, and we don't see the results. What do you do for your gut, and what do you recommend your athletes do for their gut in order to change the landscape to be beneficial and have a positive outcome from the proteins that they eat?
Well, first of all, let me say that there have been studies that have shown that probiotics, certain kinds, two that you mentioned especially, do have an effect, a positive effect on protein synthesis. This has been done with protein synthesis and an increase in protein synthesis and a decrease in protein breakdown that occurs, whether you exercise or whether you don't exercise. But there's also other factors as well, and I mentioned earlier, things like the omega-3 fatty acids, resveratrol, quercetin, and even creatine will also increase protein synthesis. What do I do? Well, it's actually a multifactorial approach. One thing is I get down and get dirty. And I don't mean dirty in the sense that most people mean dirty. I mean gardening.
Yeah.
Yeah, organic soils. Get the bacteria. Don't sanitize yourself all the time. Don't shower all the time. Twice a day using antimicrobial soaps. Open up the windows. Go outside and work in the garden. In other words, get dirty, because this is going to help your microbiota, okay? It's going to give it a chance to take the microbes that it needs, because you're specifically built a certain way. Even if I wipe out, if I give you a series of antibiotics, even three or four at a time for 2 or 3 weeks, and wipe out all of the microbes in your body as far as the bacteria, you're going to develop a very similar microbiota with time. And getting dirty is one of the things that's going to help you do that, okay? Because your body will accept and reject certain microbes depending on, again, epigenetics and genetics. So first thing is don't overclean yourself. Okay, that's number one. Most people will think, okay, so what do you do about body odor? Well, you know, there are ways of dealing with that without sanitizing yourself. So you don't want to, the second thing is you don't want to kill off your microbes unnecessarily. So you want to try and enhance anything that you can do to make it a positive microbiota rather than a negative microbiota. Not just for protein synthesis and increase in muscle hypertrophy, but also in general health. And we mentioned longevity as well as a health span and lifespan. So second thing is to kind of cultivate your microbiota. And that can be done by, in a number of ways. Probiotics is a big one, as is prebiotics. Prebiotics, obviously, are used by the microbes. This is fibers and you know, soluble fibers, especially from various sources, is a good thing to take along with the probiotics. So use them together, because one will enhance the other. Different probiotics, of course, you know, the more expensive ones are the ones that have, you know, the good the good bacteria. Less expensive ones usually just Lactobacillus, which is okay, but a lot of studies have shown that differential probiotics are more effective for health, longevity, etc., as well as protein synthesis than, you know, something that just comes off the shelf and is pretty cheap, you know. The number of bacteria contained is also important. Some you buy over the counter, which are relatively cheap, may only have 50,000 microbes.
Yeah, that's nothing.
No, some will have 10 million, 25 million, billion.
I take a product made by Sigma Tau Labs called VSL number 3. It comes in a packet.
I've heard it.
It's 450 billion with the B, CFUs, of 8 non-overlapping forms. It has bifidobacteria, it's got lactobacillus bacteria, it's got a variety of different bacteria in it. It's the only probiotic approved by the Food and Drug Administration to treat IBS and ileal pouch disorders. So, I mean, the stuff, I take it with a meal. That's another thing most people need to understand. You should take it with a meal because the pH of the gut drops and more of the bacteria gets nested. But I take one or two packets of that. Now, it's expensive. It's $80 for 30 packets. It's not cheap. But you know what? There are certain things you shouldn't skimp on. That's it.
Actually, I put a patient of mine on that just recently. This is a chap with severe ulcerative colitis.
Right.
I've also used it on people with Crohn's disease. And these are all diseases of mostly the colon. And they can be very, very severe. People under these circumstances can have a miserable, miserable life. And increasing colon cancers, et cetera, are also involved
sense. Well, let's not forget that if you have these lesions inside your gut and in your intestines of the mucosal barrier breaking down and the acids in your stomach eating up the lining of your intestines, which is what's happening in an ulceration in the gut or in the intestines, that also means that the food you're eating is getting into your bloodstream. So these people generally develop various autoimmune disorders aside from being racked with discomfort from the disease itself.
Oh, of course, yeah, there's all kinds of health implications. There's no doubt about that. But you also have to consider that the GI tract has some problems in some people. In other words, even people that are gluten sensitive, for example, they've been shown that the actual ability of the protein to get into the blood is much more pronounced than in a person who doesn't have the gluten sensitivity, because the intact proteins actually go through, you can call it spaces,
right,
in between cells and get into the systemic circulation and cause an immune response.
Right.
So, you know, it's again, using the probiotics, prebiotics, and with meals, which I usually suggest that people do, the threesome actually will help deal with some of these diseases. It may not be curative, but it often will cause, if there's been a relapse, it'll cause a remission. So it's important that these people that are, and most doctors will not prescribe this, by the way, they go with the hard medications, which can be used along with the, what I use, prebiotics, probiotics, and meal combination to help them along. And it does work a lot better. So people that are really bad, that are having, you know, and this one person that I put on it was really bad. I mean, his life was just miserable. There was a dramatic improvement. This is after the medication and along with the medication, which caused the improvement.
Right. Hey, Dr. D, do you have we have like literally 4 minutes left, and I got a guy who messaged me on Facebook begging me to ask you a question. He's on HRT, and right, his hematocrit at his normal HRT dose is going up very, very high. What would you do with somebody like that? He doesn't want to get off HRT. He's tried that, and he feels like crap. What can he do to help lower hematocrit while staying on his HRT?
Well, he's obviously going through polycythemia. You have to be very careful with this, because as the hematocrit number of red blood cells per unit of blood increases, you can cause sludging, and this can actually cause strokes and cardiac disease, etc. So what happens to somebody with polycythemia, and again, this may not, you know, he may not want to do this, is they really give blood regularly on a regular basis.
I think that's what he's doing now, but he's tired of doing it. Is there anything that can improve blood viscosity to reduce the risk of this situation?
Well, there are certain things that can do that. The suggestions would be to glycerin, increase water intake, all these things. But whether or not this has an impact on his polycythemia is going to be something he's going to have to experiment with. Right. The other thing, of course, is his general health. I'm not sure what he eats, what his diet is like. Now, he may have certain markers that predispose him to the polycythemia. Most people that take hormone replacement therapy usually will increase the red blood cell count, will increase their hemoglobin, but not to the point where it becomes any problem. For example, someone who is has a low free and total testosterone, or, you know, either very low or below normal levels, may have a hemoglobin of, let's say, 14.5, and it will increase to 15.5 to maybe 16.5. But in this particular person's case, his hemoglobin is obviously going up to the 18 and a half level.
Yeah, it's higher than that. And you know, like me personally, I've been on as much as 2 grams a week of testosterone cypionate, and I've given blood, and I've gone in there, and they've never told me they always tell me, oh, you know, your hemoglobin is within range. So,
right.
I mean, I guess you're right. There's a genetic marker or genetic factor to this. I always thought that just taking things like fish oil and niacin would improve blood viscosity and protect the person if they do have a high hematocrit.
Yeah, but you got to be careful, though. You know, I mean, you're dealing with potentially a very serious situation here.
Yeah.
Hematocrit goes high enough, increasing the viscosity or decreasing the platelet function or decreasing the coagulation factors, which you're talking about, may not necessarily alleviate the problems with very high hemoglobin. So you have to, you know, the bloodletting he's doing now is going to be good. The other thing, too, is to try different kinds of, I assume he's on testosterone of some sort.
Yeah, cypionate.
Injection.
Yeah.
Cypionate. Okay, what happens with cypionate and any of the testosterone esters that are long-acting is it gives a very high level of testosterone in the body for 3 or 4 days. In other words, you're going way above super physiological levels, way above. And I mean, I'm talking about 10 times higher than the upper limit.
Right.
And then it drops over the next 7, 10, 14 days until you get down into either the normal range or below normal range when, again, they get another shot.
Right.
And what he should try is something like Testum, which is a, you know, a gel that he puts on, and he can regulate the Testum to give him a reasonable amount of testosterone without getting that very high level, which in his case is probably causing the polycythemia.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right, listen, I appreciate it. Plug your website again before we pull the plug on the interview.
It's www.mauromd.com.
Okay, we'll see you soon, Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, thank you. Stay tuned. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about why you have that darn sweet tooth. Your brain is wired differently. We're going to talk about why.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym?
You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. You ever wonder why some people have a sweet tooth? Well, we're going to get to the bottom of that right now with Dr. Yanina Pepino. How you doing, Dr. Pepino?
Good morning. Very good. Happy to talk with you.
Yes. Thank you for being here. So what questions were you trying to answer with this research? What research preceded this that you felt compelled to do this?
So there is a lot of research trying to understand our sweet tooth. We know that we are attracted to sweetness since the day we are born, and this happens to many mammals. And we believe this may happen because evolutionarily we are going to look for safe sources of calories.
Right.
So evolution made it in a way that when we eat sweets, we release dopamine, among other chemicals that make us feel good. We feel rewarded. And one interesting thing that we know from previous studies is that as we age, our preference for sweetness decreases. And this is not only true for people, but even in other mammals, like in rats in the lab. If you evaluate how much sweetness they like early on, and then you test them later in adulthood, you will see that their preferences for intense sweetness is really high when they're young. But then as they age, like we do, we don't like as much sweets. We modulate how much sweets we like. And so the interesting thing is that this very, very well-known phenomenon, we still don't know why it happens. There are many hypotheses, maybe related with increased energy demands that go with development, and that's why you're attracted so much sugars early on and then they decay. But, you know, we really don't know why.
Right. Yeah, and you know what? And as you're saying it, I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's very true because children, I mean, they'll eat sweets all day long. But when you get older, you know, you can have a little bit here and there, but it's not like you crave it and you want, that's all you want to eat. And I never really thought about it, but that is interesting that it does kind of subside as you get older. What mechanism is present when we're young? And it could be from an evolutionary standpoint that when we're young, survival, we know that sugar is readily available and maybe it's the easy macronutrient, if you will, from an evolutionary standpoint. And when we get older, we just don't need that anymore.
It may be. We really don't know why is that these things are changing. But another interesting thing that we know is also is very well shown in many studies that as you age, there is a change in the dopaminergic receptors in your brain, and they also tend to decline with aging. So, you know, I have this very naive kind of basic question. Is it the case that we lost our interest in high concentration of sugar as we age because we are losing the dopaminergic receptors? It's changing this dopaminergic system as we age. And I had this kind of golden opportunity to collaborate with Dr. Tamara Hershey at Washington University, and they were doing this study that measures exactly that, dopaminergic receptors in the brain with a very specific ligand. And they were going to do this study looking at subjects who were both lean or subjects with people with obesity. And I thought it was a very nice setting up study that I could look at their sucrose preferences. Then we were going to know what were their dopaminergic receptors, their age. And I also wanted to understand whether there were any differences between these two things, if they were going hand in hand, dopamine and sweet preferences in lean versus obese individuals.
Interesting. So how many people were in this study?
So we recruited a lot of people, like originally we started like with 100 of individuals that went through screening, and we were very selective. We wanted to make sure that there were no comorbidities, no depression, no use of some medicine that could affect taste perception or dopaminergic receptor and things like that. And we ended up having like approximately 40 subjects, half of them lean, half of them obese, with obesity.
Okay. And so what did you do in order to ascertain their baseline perception of sweetness?
So we used very well-known and validated tests that were developed at Monell Chemical Senses Center, one of the unique, one of very important institute for the study of flavor, taste, and smell. And in this test, what you use is you offer to people to taste different solutions of sucrose. And then they had to point to the one that they like the best. And you always give them a fourth choice, A versus B solution. They tilt one. And then based on their response, then you offer them another set of sugar solutions that has the same solution that they like compared with something that is a stronger or more dilute concentration. And we do this several times until we ended up having a solution that is selected when it's compared with both higher or lower concentrations. And so we can see what is their preferred sucrose preference.
Very interesting. So once you determine what they like taste-wise as far as sweetness goes, then did you look at their brains?
Yes. Then they, a few days later, they did a PET study, a positron emission tomography study, when they receive a ligand, and then it will go in these specific areas of the brain that are related with reward, and it will map out what are the dopamine receptors, and then we can have a good count of these receptors.
And so let me ask you this. I guess I've always wondered. So dopaminergic receptors produce and receive and react to dopamine, correct?
They react. They respond when they're activated by dopamine molecules.
So,
and there are different types.
Okay, so is it possible that the dopaminergic receptors become fewer and fewer because dopamine drops, or you know, the whole chicken and egg thing? Is it the dopaminergic receptor that we're losing, or is it the dopamine that we're losing?
Yeah, you have a very important question, and sometimes we don't know much depending on this, you know, it may happen both things. So these are things that are very flexible and they adapt continuously. So you may be under a situation that if the system is stimulated a lot and there is a lot of dopamine in the system, then these receptors may downregulate it. There will be less receptors because they have tried to adapt to this overstimulation.
Ah.
It may be the case if there is little dopamine, you may have a sensitization and more dopamine receptors may populate the terminals. And then there are different type of receptors to make it really more complex. Some of them regulate how much dopamine will be released, and then some of them will regulate how to stop dopamine release. So it is a very complicated thing. So we're just stepping at the little, just very tip of the iceberg here.
Okay, here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'd like to start getting into the results. I'd like to find out what you learned about these individual brains. And what we can tell about people who have sweet tooth. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports.
The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Whenever I hear the Livon Labs Lipo C commercial, it reminds me to go take my vitamin C. Unfortunately, my box was in the other office. I run across the studio. We're talking with Dr. Yanina Pepino right now. We're talking about the phenomenon of a sweet tooth, why some people have them, why some people don't. So what did you find when you looked at their brains and compared that to the level of what they considered acceptable sweetness?
So we found that, first of all, there were different the responses in lean people and those of people with obesity. If we look at the responses in lean people, we found that as they age, as their sucrose preferences would decrease. They would like less sweetness. And we also find in lean people that the higher their D2, their dopamine receptors, the less sucrose that they would prefer.
Okay, that's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it?
As we just talked, the dopaminergic receptors is just one little piece of the puzzle.
Right.
So we just find an important and strong association. It was like we could explain almost 50% of the variance on the sucrose preferences just by knowing their dopaminergic receptor. So if they had little dopaminergic receptors, they like really high sucrose. If they had a lot of it, they needed less.
Interesting.
And we couldn't really a priori determine which direction it would be in the association. We only wanted to understand whether some variation in dopamine could explain some variation in sucrose preferences. And that was the case if people were lean.
What about the people that were obese? Did they have, so they had less dopamine receptors, you're saying?
So first, for the question of if you just look at the dopamine receptors in lean versus in people with obesity, we found that there were no differences. Both groups have similar amounts of dopamine receptors, which actually this it is a little bit
confusing.
Different of some other studies.
Interesting.
So if you look at that basic question, how lean and obese people differ in how the amount of dopaminergic receptors, you will find almost every possible answer in the literature. You will find that obese may have less, obese could have more, or they are no different. So it all depends on the type of studies, the type of ligands that they have used during the positron emission tomography. One thing that we're very certain is that at Washington University, we're using a very specific ligand really for D2 receptors. And so that gives us the confidence that what we measure is very certain. And it tells us that really there were no differences between lean and obese people in dopaminergic receptor type 2.
So I just want to make sure I understand something. So in the lean people and in the obese people, there was no statistical difference between the dopamine receptors in their brains.
Yes, there were not. The differences were on how they related to their sucrose preferences. And it is almost like, you know, saying like two cities may have the same amount of cars.
Right,
driven cars, but depending maybe on how many driveways you have, you may have different rush hours.
Right.
So the amount of receptor was the same, but the functionality or how they were related to sweet preferences was different. And one thing that we didn't mention, these receptors, dopaminergic receptors we're measuring, are located in a very specific area of the brain that is really related to reward.
What is that area called? What's that area called?
It's in the striatum.
Striatum, right. Okay.
So
when a person, since we had the same dopaminergic landscape in both brains, when the lean person tasted something that they considered sweet versus the obese person tasted something that they considered sweet, was there a difference in the response of these dopaminergic receptors?
Well, we just know that the setting of the sucrose preference and the number of receptors was different, such that in lean people, it's like really nice line response that declines, that if you have high D2 receptors, you have a very low preferences for how much sucrose you want. But if you have very little D2 receptor, it really goes high, the sucrose preference, in lean people. In obese people, there were no association whatsoever. There was no correlation. We couldn't explain anything about their sweet tooth related with dopamine.
Could it be the same phenomenon that one would experience with their hearing if they're at a concert where there's very loud music? Could it be that a corollary that people who are obese probably have exposed themselves to larger amounts of sweet tasting foods, and as a result, the response threshold is pushed up, if you will, to what they consider. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. That is an interesting hypothesis. I may just kind of have this thought that one of them is that not necessarily having obesity is related with having a sweet tooth. In fact, there are studies that show that obesity is more associated with high fat consumption.
Yeah, umami, savory flavors. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Fat more than fat combined with sweet or fat combined with umami.
Right.
But it's really more like on fat. However, what may happen, I would believe a little bit more on this other hypothesis. It could have, what you said may be true. We don't know. More studies are needed. But it may also be the case that obesity and some metabolic adaptations that come associated with obesity, such as insulin resistance or some issues with the in metabolisms, may be affecting dopamine receptors. And so your correlation now is lost.
Right. Interesting. I'd like to take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about insulin for a second.
Sure.
Because obviously we know that obese people typically have elevated insulin levels, elevated glucose levels, and if that is changing the landscape of the way the dopaminergic system responds differently. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com.
IronMagLabs.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Yanina Pepino about your sweet tooth. So, Dr. Pepino, was there any correlation between insulin levels, glucose levels, and the perception of sweetness?
No, we didn't have a chance to really look properly at those correlations because there is some little problem that you run into when you have the two groups. So for sure, what we did in screening is that nobody had diabetes. We give them a sugar test that you get, and you can measure glucose and insulin and at different time points. and we were sure that they were not having diabetes issues. But having said that, even when everybody was good, had no diabetes, was healthy, the group who was lean had a much lower insulin levels than the group with obesity.
Right.
Most of the people, like almost 90% of the people that were in the obese group had like what we would call a little bit of insulin resistance.
Right.
As you would expect. And so we didn't really have a proper kind of ranges of insulin to look at the correlation in these two groups.
Because I have to believe that insulin plays a role in this whole scenario somewhere along the line. So what do you want people to understand about this research? What have we learned that maybe clinicians and lay people can understand better about those people who have sweet tooths?
We still cannot explain why when you age your sweet tooth goes down. At least we can say it is not because your dopamine receptors go down, because this seems to be two processes that are parallel. So as you age, your dopamine receptor go down, and dopamine somehow it is associated with how much sugars you like, but it's not that one explains completely the other. These are independent processes. Both as you're aging and the setting of how many dopamine receptors you have will give you an idea of how much sugars you may like. So there is a biological basis of your sweet preferences. But as I said, it's not that simple answer that we were thinking, oh, we can explain it all by looking at dopamine receptors, how much sugar you like. And then the other thing that we saw is that this is an alteration that we see associated with obesity. So there is another way of showing that this highly conserved system of motivation and reward, the dopaminergic system, it is really nicely linked to sweet preferences in lean people, but we see that in obesity, this is something that is altered. We cannot say if it's cause or effect, but it would just say that it's an alteration.
Interesting. I want to thank you so much for coming on the air today to talk about this. It's very intriguing. And, you know, I've always thought that, like all addictive behavior, there's a dopamine link. And we know that, you know, dopamine is the major reward brain hormone. But this really raises more questions than anything else, doesn't it?
It's true. As many of our studies, we get more questions when we search for one answer.
Yeah.
But another thing that I may comment upon is that we usually used to think traditionally on sweetness as a reward with just a taste. Or of course, we know that ingesting calories is also rewarding. If you're hungry and you eat, then you feel comforted. You get the reward of feel now less, not hungry, satiated.
Well, I'm sorry. Just one second. Hold that thought. But we have a lot of scientists out there who have done studies that try to compare the effects on the brain from sugar to drugs like cocaine. Isn't sugar more unique than just food in general?
Well, it seems that glucose may be very unique, and we need to understand better. So it's like the brain is very good at detecting sweetness with calories and without calories, and within sugars, it seems that the brain can detect glucose, but in particular, it's very rewarding compared with other sources of calories.
The drink that these people were given, was this table sugar? Was this a combination of fructose and sucrose?
It was table sugar, so it was sucrose.
So we also know that, at least in rodents, fructose affects satiety differently than, say, dextrose. Would it be fair to say that maybe if these parties got a pure dextrose drink, that the outcome would have been somehow different?
I doubt it, because what we were doing when we measured sweet preferences, even when we use sucrose, we were asking people to taste the sugar and spit it out. So there was no component of ingestive behavior. You know, they were not swallowing, so there was no caloric contribution.
Gotcha.
So it was just a sweet taste.
Yeah. That makes sense. So there was just the glucose signaling from the tongue at that point in time and nothing else.
That's right.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yes. So, but what I wanted to comment on is that, so now we know that the sugars are rewarding both because of their sweet taste and because of their calorie contribution. And both things are coded in the striatum. So both things, the taste of sugar, the sweet taste is rewarding, and also the post-absorptive effect. So that's why I think it may be the case that in obesity we are missing these associations, because there are, we know, metabolic dysregulations associated with obesity. That may also be why the striatum now, the density of receptors in striatum is not related to the rewarding value of the sweet taste.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, well, I appreciate you being on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for calling us and for being interested in our study.
Yes.
We always are very happy to talk with people about our science.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So there you have it. More questions are come from a result of this than answers, quite frankly, but it's interesting. I want to thank Dr. Mara Di Pasquale today for coming on during the first hour. Also, today is Thursday, which means tomorrow's Friday, which means tomorrow's Casual Friday. We got a lot of good things to talk about already. Alisa has been hard at work preparing Casual Friday, so please tune in live. And if you can't tune in live between noon and 2 tomorrow, there's always the podcast. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Thank you for listening today.